Don't be alarmed. The quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry. That quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back with another episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. It is always a great day when I could talk to this awesome individual here. She is the mastermind of everything relating to the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast. Mm-hmm. It is Miss Dawn Fobbs. And Dawn, it's always great to have you here talking some TV. But you know what? Our focus is one entity today. Uno.
I like it.
It is the big guy himself in the streaming world. It is Netflix, because Netflix has been making a ton of news this week. Yeah. And also, as far as I might want to make sure before everybody, you know, we head on out as well, I know what you're watching on Netflix. So with that said, Netflix this week reported its numbers for the fourth quarter of 2023, and they are beyond what most projections were at. They were at a whopping 13 million gained subscribers. They are now, get this, are in around the world, 260 million subscribers strong. This coming from the company that you once got DVDs mailed to you, remember? The company that was once could have been bought out for a paltry, what, I don't know, I forget what it was, $10, $20, $30 million. Blockbuster had the deal offered to them. Netflix was begging them to buy it and didn't buy it. Now they're 260 million subscribers. They're actually in the black as far as, you know, actually making money, because you remember for years they were just putting in so much content. They were in the red constantly. They're now gaining profitability. They just announced also as well, for everyone out there, that they will be the home for WWE Raw starting in January 2025. I know that doesn't please you, but
I used to watch WWE when I was a kid. I was a huge Hulk Hogan fan.
Okay, I was just the look on your face, so I apologize.
I'm a huge Hulk Hogan fan, and I am not opposed to WWE. I'm just like, Netflix, you know, it's shocking to me. Like, really?
They paid, now get this.
And all of that crew.
Well, and on 40 years of the anniversary of Hulkamania starting up when he first won the title, which was this week as well, quite conveniently. But so I just a face kind of weirded me out there. It's like, you're like, oh, because I know professional wrestling does that.
That used to be Saturday morning watching, let me tell you.
Well, all right. Well, then it could be watching once again, because Netflix has paid. Now, get this. The contract is 10 years, $500 million for most international rights from around the world, including the United States. Again, starting in most areas in January of 2025. It could be as reduced to 5 years based on what Netflix wants, or it could be extended up to 20 years on that. So they basically have control of WWE as far as one major show for them for the next possibly 5 to 20 years. So that's amazing. But Netflix is winning definitively the streaming wars, with all apologies to Amazon Prime, with all apologies to Peacock and Paramount Plus and, you know, Max and Disney Plus and all that.
Yes.
You know, the reason why most of these entities got into business in the first place, because they saw what Netflix was growing into.
Right.
Their fear was that Netflix would become this behemoth. Well, Miss Dawn Fobbs,
it's happened.
Netflix is now this behemoth. Your thoughts on Netflix now achieving 260 million subscribers worldwide?
And you know what? I know maybe the audience might not like me saying this, but I think what has helped them is when they crack down on the password sharing. And the
They admitted that. That was part of their statement this past week.
It has to be true, because every podcaster I've heard say anything about Netflix, the first thing they talk about is what has happened with their Netflix. And one guy was saying that he's in New York and he had all of his family on his Netflix, but his mom and dad traveled to Florida. Mom tried to log in, couldn't get in. And she's like, oh my gosh, I need something to watch. So he went ahead and paid the extra $16 to add mom to his plan. So like, it was that important for his mom and dad to be able to have something to watch. And because he was responsible for the Netflix password, he had to do it. So I think that, hey, their little plan worked.
I could hear right now behind both of our heads the ka-ching from dollar signs. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching right there.
And then I'm going to tell you what else has contributed to it. For example, my telephone service is with T-Mobile. And when I first left AT&T to go to T-Mobile, I left because they were offering the Netflix for free. Of course, that word is not true anymore, because when I asked just 30 days ago what my portion of it really was, because I said, listen, I know nothing's free. What's my portion? And they said, well, your portion is what we pay to get the Netflix to you, which is $8 a month. I said, that's still cheaper than $23. And I have five people on my Netflix, right? Now they just sent me a text message, a text message saying, as of January 24th, you'll now be able to get Hulu for $7 a month. So a lot of people are opting into the special programs with their cell phone, and not just T-Mobile offers it. I mean, you got Verizon and all these other people too. I'm just talking about my own personal experience, because if I had not gotten that deal from them, I probably would not still have Netflix, because my Netflix right now would be costing me $30 a month, probably with all the people I have on it or whatever. But I think all the little things that they changed that we hated and talked about, we didn't like, that has helped their bottom line. And in business, it's about the bottom line. And they've had some really good programming. I mean, I've had a couple of shows, and we'll talk about them, I guess, that have had me in a chokehold for the last couple of weeks or so, because they've been really good series. And, you know, once you catch a good series, and then Bridgerton is coming back with a part one and a part two, May and June. So they keep us there by feeding us these part ones and these part twos. And so we stay there because we want to see the ending of whatever the show is. So whoever's in their marketing department that figured out here are the top 10 things that are going to help our bottom line, they need a raise, because it worked.
I will say this, though. One of the reasons why you are indicating, you know, you've had to make changes to Netflix is exactly the reasons why they specifically outline, like, for instance, the high attachment rate based off of the mobile plans like Verizon, T-Mobile offering it as far as in a bundle package. The ad-free, in some cases, cheaper alternative start in buy-in prices. So you have to deal with ads. That's something for them. Not only do they get more subscribers, but they also get more revenue because ad revenue is coming in there. The thing that might go away eventually, Dawn, is the classic no ads, deals as far as the no ad rate tier. That most people,
Netflix doesn't do that. I know Hulu is most, done it, but Netflix doesn't do it.
They are starting to fade that away as offering that to new subscribers or people that are interested. They're starting to take away that option. That's something that they indicated, because they are going to rely more on advertisement going forward. Your thoughts on that, my friend, because it is something where I know there's going to be a backlash at some point if they get rid of it entirely. I don't think they will. I think if you're grandfathered in, you're always going to be grandfathered in as long as you keep paying for it. But at some point, someone new will never have the same, or may not have the same options that you and I did in regards to a tier that without ads for Netflix.
Now, I'll tell you this. I really like the way some of the streaming networks are doing it, and I don't have a problem with it. They have the ads, but the ad is at either the front of the movie or at the end of the movie, but not during the movie. So I do like that. So far, Netflix has not added any ads or anything like that from what I can see. I do know that the free Hulu that T-Mobile is now offering, they did say to me that did have ads in it. And I said, okay, well, no, I don't want it. They said, well, you have to opt into it to even get it. And I said, no, I don't want it because I already have Hulu, and I got Hulu and Stars and HBO Max and all that as a bundle plan for like under $10 a month from the New Year special that they did. I just renewed it and got a much better deal. So I hope Netflix doesn't do that. But again, business is about earning money. And if they add the ads somewhere, beginning, end, middle, whatever, that is going to add even more money to their bottom line. And guess what? Customers are not going to like it, but a lot of them are not going to go anywhere either, because old traditional broadcast TV, we were so used to ads anyway.
Yeah.
That it's just reprogramming our mind back to regular traditional TV. But I do say if they do it that way, then it won't be any different than traditional TV. Because I can remember when they were sending the CDs to the home with Netflix, the reason that I liked Netflix when it came on where we could get stream it on the computer was because I did a computer first, then the TV. It was the not wanting to see the ads. It was the annoyance of the same ads. It was the fact that when the ads come on, the volume goes up so high and then it goes back down. So you're constantly moving the remote to turn the TV up and down. So I hope that Netflix doesn't do it, but I'm a businesswoman and I get that it's about the bottom line in the end, so that they can continue to grow this, as you said, behemoth streaming. And I figure, in a year, if they keep this up, this goodness up, goodness on their bottom line, they're going to be so big that a lot of them are going to disappear. Like your Apple, we already don't go there anyway. A lot of these are Disney didn't do as good as they thought. I just feel like Netflix is the king of streaming, and somebody needs to just kind of go ahead and admit that.
Absolutely. We've got some questions in our chat. I wanted to go ahead and knock them out for real quick. Devotion, great member. In fact, all these three are just awesome members and parts of my Lakers Fast Break shows. So truly appreciate them while stopping by. Devotion said, Gerald, how long until Netflix buys the rights to stream some pro sports? I think the WWE, this is their first taste of real live programming on an extended 52-week year basis. There's been rumors based off of their huge success from the Formula One documentary that they put on Netflix that they would, put out some feelers for the F1, but that hasn't materialized as of yet. This, they categorized when they made the deal for WWE as not sports, but sports entertainment, which is a key for them. This is them dipping their toe into something similar to live sports, because you know that's the way the WWE films it and tapes it on a regular basis, is live right in front of an audience of 10 to 20,000 people. It's literally just like a sporting event. Again, it is scripted drama, so you know, you do what you know, you say what you want about it, but in essence, it is a great way for Netflix to dip their toe in the water on live programming on an extended basis. Don, your thoughts on that? And then I'll get to we'll get to our next question here in the chat.
I think that's absolutely true. And I'm going to tell you something, just like when they have the boxing tournaments and all of those things, or matches, I guess I should say, when they have the pay-per-view or whatever, let me tell you something. If Netflix gets into the game of the pay-per-view and they create a platform for that, it is over for all the rest, because people are going to say, well, since I already have this, I might as well utilize it to the best. And I don't mind paying, I don't know how much those boxing matches cost. I might as well go ahead and pay it since I'm already on that platform. I can invite people over. Most people now have a movie room in their home. And let me tell you something, if they do that, the game is over. They have absolutely then won. Okay. They have won, because they've already won people like me who love to see, you know, the movies that are kind of geared toward the women. They've already won the ones that are going to look forward to that specific niche of WWE. They've already won the kids with the Coco Melon. Come on. They have pretty much gone down the list and picked and choose who they wanted to win over. And whoever's in marketing is thinking about all those niches. See, the industry I come from as a business consultant is that a niche will make you rich. They have figured out to go down the list of the niche and watch what happens.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. Don't touch that dial. Wait, do people still use dials?
For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm on with the awesome and amazing Dawn Fobbs. You got to go ahead and check out what she's doing today with her awesome daughter at the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast. Problem Child has put out here that some have suggested Netflix to start carrying adult content to survive. Well, they're not just surviving. They're thriving at over 260 million subscribers, Problem Child. The thing is, I'm not sure if they will ever do that because they have a ton hard R, NC-17 content already that they do. Yes. They love pushing the envelope already with their highly romantic or sexy thrillers, or you know, they love doing that stuff already that closes in on that I'll say the letter X territory, but they don't need to do it. They just need to stay near that NC-17 window or in that NC-17 rating for their programming for some of the stuff. And I think that they're going to be fine long term. I don't think they need to go into really that deep into the adult content part of it.
They may not need to. They may not need to, in your opinion. But let me tell you, since you can get it all for free already on all of the different sites online, on your phone or whatever. Again, we're back to talking about niches and we're talking about business here. They've already got some very, 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 very interesting.
Very risque stuff there,
Risque stuff there, because one night I'm looking for different things and I went, whoa, I did not know I could see that on Netflix. So I'm going to say it, you might not think it's necessary, but if they had just like the pay-per-view where you go into a different section and you can turn that on by paying
like,
extra.
Well, like the old days when you went to the video store and then there was that section with the curtain, which you like. Yeah. My daughter's at the very young, where's that daddy? I'm like, you're not going there.
Well, but I'm going to tell you, if they do it, it's going to be another game changer for them, because I am tempted to actually do a show about state by state what people are looking at in that industry of watching, and it's very interesting. I just stumbled upon
you said you could get it free, but we both know it's a multi-billion dollar industry, you know, and whether or not you get it free off your phone or your laptop or whatever, I respect your wishes on if you do that, that's all you, but it is a multi-billion dollar industry, and like you said, if Netflix feels the need for some more cash, then they might as well go ahead and put up the proverbial curtain, the virtual curtain on Netflix and do that again. Yeah. So,
and I'm going to tell you something. If they said for an extra $5 a month, you can watch two or three of those type of shows, $5 are going to be flying all over.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right on that. Last question by Heavy Duty. Amazon Prime is dropping the ball, needs better content and a better library. Heavy Duty, this goes back to when I first originally started the show in 2016. And I said that at that time that I was really laying in on Amazon Prime because they were just treating their video, Amazon Prime video, as like an afterthought. They had like just some old generic movies or straight to video stuff. It was pretty much garbage because all they cared about was your Prime video subscription for all you ordering and stuff like that. Again, when it comes to Amazon Prime, they still, I think, even to this day, although they're so much better about their programming now, there's so many good things. The Boys, Upload, several good things. Mr. and Mrs. Smith is coming out with Donald Glover, absolutely tremendous actor. That is going to be something I'm going to look forward to as far as to see if that remake is worth our time. Reacher, they've got a lot of things that are better about it now. Gen Z, you know, Invincible, so many good things about it now. But yes, it is still to them, when it comes right down to it, Dawn, Amazon Prime is still a part of the equation, whereas with Netflix, it is the whole equation. And as long as it remains like that, you are never going to get, as you know, the kind of focus you want. Yeah, I mean, they have over 200 million subscribers themselves, but most of those, like you and I, are using it mainly for the ordering purposes or Audible or whatever it is we're using for. But as long as the Amazon wants to be a jack of all trades and a master of none, it's never going to get, Amazon Prime is never going to get to that point where it can be on equal footing with Netflix, in my opinion, Dawn.
And, you know, it seems to me almost that they're really not really competing, but that they're just, like you said, they're just there and they want people to have the Prime. I don't see where they're really competing. I feel like they just want a foot in the game, because that whole conglomerate is all about having a piece of everything, you know? So we got to think about where it started from. It started from just being able to order on Amazon, mostly books and things like that. And now that it's become as big as it is, another bohemia, I think that Amazon Prime is just a way of them saying, we're going to get in the game. We don't care if we're number one in the game in that area, because we're already number one in the other area. So I don't think that they're really trying to actually compete. I think they just want a piece of the game.
I agree, yeah. My friend. But I do want to say, before we talk about what we're watching on Netflix, or what we think you should be watching on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Devotion says, Dawn stole a thought for me. Netflix should stream boxing. Boxing matches are about $60 a match, pay-per-view. Okay. If they don't, they do that, or they line themselves with a certain promotion, Devotion, or if they get the rights to the UFC, because the company, remember last year, the company that bought the WWE for $9 billion bought previously the UFC for $12 billion. So they're all under one umbrella now, the TKO umbrella. Right. So let's say the ESPN UFC deal comes up.
Yeah.
They go to Netflix with the price of their pay-per-views and whatnot. I'm sure Netflix would entertain that option indeed.
You know, I'll tell you something, Gerald, since we're talking about Netflix and I'm looking more of it on a business perspective as far as niches, I really, as a woman, I would really like to see Netflix first talk show. You know, if they could get in the talk show game, that would be also awesome. It was something
like Red Table Talk Show was a great success.
Or anything like that. That would be a huge success. Or either Steve Harvey Show or something. I know in 2013, when I did my very first podcast, that was my goal, is that I wanted my business talk show to be on Netflix. It wasn't something that they were even thinking about, especially when it came to business. They were like, nah, they wanted something more salacious. Because remember, we are in the reality TV world. So they didn't want something like that because it was a pitch. So, you know, if they did like the reality TV thing, if they, you know, went into, like I was saying, you know, if they did go into the other things, I'm just saying, when you start thinking about niches, you're going to bring in more eyes. You're going to keep those subscriptions, because as soon as I say, oh, I'm getting tired of these bills being, you know, $20 for Netflix, and they go, well, guess what we're offering now? And I'm like, I guess I'll stay.
I will say, so though,
I'm enjoying seeing all the little niches that they're kind of pulling in new audiences and things like that. And as they continue to open up in more and more countries, remember, it really hurt them when, and I understand why, it hurt them when they pulled their Netflix from Russia and Ukraine and all of that. And so they had to figure out a way to, so they may have opened up to more countries and things like that as well. Cause I know I enjoy when I'm in other countries to just turn the TV on the hotel to see that they have the Netflix capabilities, and they've even got it on the cruise ships as well, because I just got off of a cruise and one of the options was that I could watch my Netflix as long as I put my password in there.
Problem Child says, interesting that Netflix is thriving, that they thought they were struggling post pandemic. Well, they may have been. They ain't anymore, that's for sure. 260 million subscribers right now. So 13 million subscribers in the last quarter, exceeding market expectations. So they are doing a great job. I know the Rebel Moon movie, even though it did not bring in maybe the kind of hours viewing, it brought in a lot of hype. I have a feeling that brought in quite a few subscriptions as far as that's concerned. I do know that the programming that they've had during the course of the last quarter was really strong, thus getting that large number. But let me ask you this before we head on out. Mm-hmm. What are your top picks right now that you're checking out or that you recently checked out on Netflix before we head on out?
Well, I'm going to give you the very, very top one. And I almost didn't watch it because it didn't look interesting to me as I, because I give a show about 15 minutes. And if you can't catch me in 15 minutes, I'm usually going to have to start it again when I'm in a better mood or something. But Fool Me Once. Have you seen Fool Me Once?
No, but I have heard it and I have seen it on my algorithm.
Fool Me Once is such a good twister and such a good turner. And it really caught my attention. I like to hear background noise when I'm working on my computer. This one, I had to watch it when I wasn't working because I didn't want to miss all the little nuances and things like that. I did start it the first time and I really didn't like it. And then I said, okay, let me give it a chance. I got a more quiet space in my head. I can listen. And I'm going to tell you, that's the last thing that I watched on Netflix that really took my attention. I even told my daughter, you got to watch that. You got to watch that, because we're kind of watching some things on Showtime and talking about it, some things on HBO and talking about it. And but on Netflix, Fool Me Once has really, since the Julia Roberts movie, that whole thing came out, that's the next thing that kind of like caught my attention. But I'm really, really excited about Bridgerton coming back. I'm not excited that they're going to do a part one month and a part two the next month, because I like to get it all at once. And sometimes even I'll
but
wait
that's
until
how they get you to
out.
Go ahead and continue being a
so
subscriber.
What I'll do is I'll just not watch the part one and I'll wait till part two comes out. That way I can watch part one and two all as kind of like a binger type of thing and just have like a whole weekend or something like that. But I'm excited that that's coming back. So, yes, I did watch Dave Chappelle's special. It did not enlighten me. And I keep trying to make myself like Dave. And I realized that I'm just not, I don't care about his comedy. I mean, I never knew him when he did his Chappelle show. The first time I ever was introduced to him is his first show he did on Netflix. But I don't care for it. It doesn't really make me chuckle or laugh really hard or anything like that. So I'm like, okay, that special was okay, but I don't get it. And so I think it's me. It's not anybody else. It's me. I just don't get it. So I watched that on, I think, like right before the new year changed over, because I know it was at my mom's house. So it had to be like New Year's Eve or New Year's night or something like that. We watched it. But other than that, I'm just kind of like looking around at different shows on Netflix. Now, I'll tell you something that caught my attention last week, and I had to call my mom and say, hey, you need to watch this because I know you like that guy. Kevin Hart's new show on there. I watched that and my mom liked it too. So I was like, okay, if she likes it, then I know we like kind of like the same movies. My daughter, she didn't want to watch it. So, but his new show, I can't even think of the name of it right now. But anyway, I feel
that's
like it's going to be,
I
feel like it's going to be a part two, kind of like
it's
when Dwayne
the Rock.
Lyft. Yeah. I should have remembered that from the Lyft car service, but it was kind of like, it reminded me of the Dwayne, the Rock Johnson movie that he did. And I said to myself when that ended, oh, that's gotta be a whole
thing.
This James
is where
Bond
he leads a team
story.
Of individuals to steal something,
yes,
I guess. Yeah.
Good.
They're ring of thieves. They get hired, I believe, by the government and to go ahead and
it has a little love story in it too, as well. A lot of you know, little sneaky things that I like, that's like, ooh, you know, not knowing what the other one is doing and thinking. So I do feel like, and I hate to say this, I do feel like Kevin Hart's role should have been played by someone else, just simply because I don't know why when I look at him, I see a little 15-year-old boy. But I don't know why they always put him in these movies where everybody's towering over him, even his love interest and everyone. So I thought he was good in it, but I would have liked to have seen someone else play that role, because I thought in my mind, it doesn't matter who else would have played in that role. If they would have fit the role better, then it would have made the movie even better. But I will tell you, from 1 to 10, it was at least a 9.5. It was that interesting. But I do know that that probably is going to be a series type of thing because of the way it ended. It's like, okay, it kind of made you want more. So I think he's got a hit on his hands with that. And, you know, he's tried a few things over. Kevin Hart's tried a few things over on Netflix. But I think this good cop, bad cop, thief person, CIA, FBI, those type of things really work. Everybody's kind of thirsting for that James Bond mystique. And they're not getting it because, you know, James Bond is the man. But, you know, it was good for what it was, and it was good that it was on Netflix because it gave me something to really look forward to.
Thanks for checking out the PCC, you know, the Pop Culture Cosmos. We'll be back in one moment. What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons,
and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
Once again, it is Dawn Fobbs. Please go ahead and check out what she and her daughter are doing today at the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast. I will throw in my two cents here on the animation front, because you know what? The one thing people have to give Netflix for is not only their devotion to the anime genre, but they're basically their devotion to the animation, I guess, whole gambit of stuff, because they've done and been a part of so many great animation or animated projects that they put on there in recent years. Two of them I covered on the Best of Pop Culture for 2023 last week, and that was Blue Eye Samurai and also as well Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. Those two are outstanding animated projects, animated series I think people need to check out. I know Rebel Moon is like, so if you were interested in Rebel Moon, you want to go ahead and check it out before the second part drops. That's up to you. I know I will be. I thought it was okay for what it was as far as popcorn entertainment. I know that's something that Netflix does a lot, is they'll have these high-profile movies or these high-profile actors in popcorn types movies. They're not really, you know, I don't know, some cases like we talked about last month with Julia Roberts' latest film. That movie looked like it was shot in many ways. Yeah, it looked like it was shot in many ways over a weekend. And it just
easily.
And you know, with Mahershala Ali, all these great names in there. And I'm like, man, could they have done something better with that cast? It would have been great. But Netflix can be guilty of that with these high profile actors, just paying them gobs of money for working like for relatively quickly on these projects, turn around and there you go. But I will say, though, that their animation, they do not take any cutbacks. They do not skimp any corners. The Arcanes and they've just had one that was nominated for an Oscar that you can actually go ahead and catch right now. I'm going to bring up the animated feature for the Oscars for that. Nimona, that's right. Nimona is the one that, if you get a chance to check it out, that is available right now on Netflix. That was something that was nominated for an Oscar for Best Animated Features. So there is a lot of good quality animation on Netflix if you wish to go ahead and find it.
Very true. My son is an anime artist, and so he has hipped me to all of the anime stuff, and that's what he watches on the Netflix, is all of the anime. And so again, there we are with another niche of individuals who love anime that can go to their Netflix and they can kind of binge watch it however they want to as well. So I just love all the little different genres of how they're pulling people in. And you know, the other thing about Netflix, I'll say this last, is that I feel like they're so super smart partnering with all of these other bigger companies, partnering with corporations and partnering with the cruise line ships and partnering with the airlines. And I just think that is so smart, because in order to get the kind of numbers that they're doing, that is something that they have to do, is to do the cross promotion and to partner with all of these individuals. And on the other end, we benefit from it, because instead of our bill being 20 or 30 bucks, we're getting it for 8 to 10. So, you know, there's no complaint there. It's kind of like it's a happy medium for everybody, because when Netflix first started, what were we paying? $4.99?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Those days are long gone, my friend.
I know. They're so long gone that I couldn't even remember the number.
So before we head on out, it is time for the magic pitch, my friend. Why do people need to check out the latest episodes of the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast?
Let me tell you, we've had so much fun and been so great and consistent this year. I've been talking about money and finances. I've been talking about discipline. I've been talking about trips. You know, I've taken you all around Mexico with me. This Saturday, we have a show coming out talking about some tips on how to do a solo cruise, which I did my first one, which was on my bucket list this year. We have been talking about everything that has to do with helping women to be better, to, you know, personal development and professional development and just everything that has to do with doing great for 2024. So we've got so many great shows lined up. I mean, I've got a list of about 40 shows right here that I'll be recording over the next few days. My daughter and I are actually going to record a show tomorrow while we go and get reflexology. And then we're going to go to a new restaurant. So we're going to be recording that on tomorrow. And then I'm taking her on a surprise birthday party coming up, She's turning 30 and we're going to be recording from a remote island. We'll tell you what that island is later, but since I haven't told her where she's going, I can't say it here just in case, you know. But I'm excited about all the things we're doing for this year, and we're connecting more and just better and bigger with women this year, and, you know, taking trips and retreats and things like that to just reach out and really help one another. And that's really what it's all about for me and for the people that are in my circle. So I'm excited about that. And I'm just excited that, you know, we started this show during a pandemic in 2021, and that we're still loving it and we're still doing whatever it is that we want to do to come up with more and more topics that are interesting to people. And so we've been getting a lot of good comments about some of the topics that have been, and I just have been taking those topics from conversations I've been having with people, things that are happening in my business world, things that are happening on travel retreats, talking to people, and like making a whole show about it, because it's real life and it's real conversation. It's real things that are happening with me in my life that I don't have to make up anything. I can just tell you how it really was.
Once again, it is the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast. Please go ahead and check it out today, wherever you get your podcasts. Well, that's Dawn, it's been great talking Netflix with you. Any last thoughts before we head on out?
Well, I would just like to say that if you are thinking about getting Netflix and you've been on the fence, well, guess what? You're going to be missing some really good programming, because they've put out a list of all the things that are going to be coming up through June. And so I feel like if you want some good binge watching type things, or you want something to just kind of have to watch on the weekend, if you're like me and you don't really watch a lot of TV during the week, I think Netflix is going to be one of the best bets, because they are winning right now. You could get all of the other streaming services, but Netflix is still winning. So I wouldn't say give up on them just yet, because they are winning.
They are winning indeed. Once again, it is Dawn Fobbs. Please check her out and her daughter today at the Mother-Daughter-ish podcast. Dawn, it's always great catching up with you. Looking forward to a conversation next month on our monthly conversations on the world of TV right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
We're back with another episode of Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Inside Sports Fantasy Football, plus also as well Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcast. Plus also as well the Lakers Fast Break. Nobody covers the Lakers and the world of the NBA like us at the Lakers Fast Break. Truly appreciate you watching and listening, but you also, for your sports fix, have to go ahead and check out the latest episodes of The Domination Sports Nation. And if you do, please, for all these shows, 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. Plus also like and subscribe today to go ahead and get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here. Thanks so much for joining me. It is championship weekend in the NFL. We've all been waiting for this. It all comes down to this as far as for the Super Bowl, big game, whatever you want to say. It is the AFC and NFC championships coming to you this weekend, as we have the Detroit Lions heading into San Francisco to face off against the 49ers. And the Kansas City Chiefs and the media sensation that they are, Taylor Swift, Kelce's aside, those individuals and the contingent known as the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, they go ahead and head into the unfriendly confines of Baltimore and the Baltimore Ravens. This weekend looks like it's going to be a couple great matchups. and here today to go ahead and discuss these two matchups. A good man indeed. You have got to go ahead and catch him and his son, Dominic Lardieri, each and every time out for the Domination Sports Nation. It is Chris Lardieri, and Chris, great to have you here, my friend. It is championship weekend in the NFL. I'm excited. We had some real good games this past weekend. Some major bonehead moves, as I noted to you on the DM in regards to time management, especially in Green Bay. I understand about Tampa Bay. I think that was game was already done, like the Tampa Bay coach said. But the Green Bay coach, I think, made a little bit of an error, in my opinion, as I noted to you. But some great games, nonetheless, that came down to the wire. And I'm looking forward to hopefully the same this weekend.
Gerald, great to be back. Thanks as always. And yeah, at least we got some compelling football last week and a little more interesting than wild card weekend. Completely agree with you. I thought the Packers could have easily won that game, had a bad feeling after the missed field goal. But like you said, I don't get these coaches with the clock management, relying on kickers. I know we didn't talk about this on DM, but what went on in Buffalo with McDermott, I think, is a shame. You know, we had Bass on one of our fantasy teams this year, Dom and I, and we jettisoned him probably a little bit past the halfway mark. And it's because there are times in Buffalo during the regular season where he was inconsistent. No one seemed to mention that, and he did his best Scott Norwood impression. But why are you not running more clock? Why are you calling two pass plays, specifically on second and nine? You know, you're worried about, even if you tie the game, the Chiefs marching down the field, even if they only have one timeout, I think it was a realistic possibility they would have been in field goal range. So you want to bleed as much clock as possible while getting your kicker a little closer. Why not run the ball? I mean, there are plenty of things you can point to in that game, drop passes, especially Stephon Diggs. But I think LaFleur and McDermott really kind of the coaching goats from this past weekend.
And the reason why I said that is in regards to LaFleur and Green Bay about his bumbles, I just think when I am of the mindset, when you're under 3 minutes to play, take your timeouts then if you're on that end, because you get an extra timeout with a 2 minute warning. And at around 245, 249 left, that's when you should have started calling your timeouts. That way your team has plenty of time on the other end. If you stop them, or even if they score, you still have plenty of time to come back down. You have almost 2 minutes left on the clock, and that's an eternity. But if you don't, and you let it go after the two-minute warning, you start calling those timeouts, it can cost you, and it did with Phil LaFleur.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at the week before the Rams, they punted to the Lions, only had one timeout left. You've got those timeouts, you use them. What are you saving them for, especially with your season on the line? With a field goal, you have to mentally prepare. If it's missed, this is basically a punt that goes nowhere and the other team's getting the ball back. So completely agree. Don't understand it. Help your defense out too in the process. But I mean, I think at some point, Gerald, whether it's on our podcast or this fine show here, we should talk about just game management in the NFL in general. You can blame analytics all you want, and they are partially to blame, but some of these coaches, I don't know if they're too busy calling plays or being a little too, I don't want to say micromanaging, but hands-on to where they can't see the 30,000-foot view. And, you know, I was reading something this week where Dan Campbell's basically delegated all the play-calling duties the past few seasons to Ben Johnson, who's probably going to get a head coaching job. And I think that's smart. The head coach is there to manage, you know, not only with personnel, but time management, game situations, whether to go for two or kick. And I don't think people really, you know, especially some of these younger coaches, have learned from that.
Once again, it is Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It is Chris Lardieri from the Domination Sports Nation, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. It is championship weekend. We'll start off and we'll kick it off with the AFC Championship game with the Swifties, known as the Kansas City Chiefs. They head into Baltimore to face off against a very tough Baltimore Ravens team. Now, originally, Chris, when I started everything off as far as the picks, as, you know, I believe it was on this show, I said my final two would be the chalk teams, the Ravens and the 49ers. I don't know. I am possibly thinking I could see a change in my near future. I'll go ahead and make sure that's indicated before the end of the show. But your thoughts, my friend, on the AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Ravens?
I don't think this is a gimme. And I know going into this, you and I both forecasted a Buffalo-Baltimore AFC Championship game. So I definitely wouldn't fault you for picking the Ravens there. But with the way the Chiefs are playing, the way they pulled it out in Buffalo, the fact that they're another underdog this week, 3.5 points. One of my friends made a phenomenal point. He said to me during that Chiefs-Bills game, this team reminds me of the 1990s Yankees dynasty, where they'd have some flat out like crappy stretches down the season, or you know, extend series way too long, but they'd find a way to win. Like at the end of the day, it's a veteran team that knew how to win, to play in the clutch. You know, the Derek Jeters of the world. I could equate that to Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. These guys just show up when there's crunch time. So I would not be shocked if we see the Chiefs go back again. But on the flip side, I think the Ravens are dangerous, and the Chiefs have never been in this spot in the Mahomes era where they have to go on the road to try and get to the Super Bowl in the AFC Championship game.
Also here today, good man indeed, he is Onyx1947 at LakersBall.com. Plus, also, you got to go ahead and check out his new show on the Lakers Fast Break YouTube channel entitled Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro. It is Joe Soro. And Joe, great to have you here. Your thoughts on the AFC Championship game with Kansas City heading into Baltimore?
Well, I chimed in because I heard you guys talking about Buffalo and Stephon Diggs. And I know everybody's piling on McDermott, and that seems to be the easy way out.
I'm more on LaFleur for his time management than McDermott personally.
Where McDermott made a mistake, and it's not just a mistake this last week, is Stephon Diggs was – something was going on with this guy the last half season. Something, especially in the last month, something's going on in there. And every time I saw them go anywhere near him, I just had this feeling like, what are you doing? Stay away from that guy. A guy is just, he just seemed like he wasn't focused. And in the end, you had a lot of the execution towards the end was, and I have to say this over and over again, is Patrick Mahomes. When you're on that drive and you're thinking about scoring, there's also a thought that, what do we do? Do we score? What if we score too quick? What if we can't score? What if, should we do a field goal here? And that, it's like that guy puts you, it's just like what Tom Brady used to do. The guy puts you in a mental state where you're in constant fear. And if anyone would fear Patrick Mahomes, it would be the Buffalo Bills and McDermott, because they lost a damn playoff game being up with 13 seconds left. So for those of you who, because I said this about Giannis on our show yesterday, about how Giannis and Patrick Mahomes right now are on a trajectory where they're starting to get hate now, where they were fan favorites and feel good story for a while. And it always happens like this, where you come out, you're the darling of everyone's eye. And then when you start to win too much, or maybe you complain a little bit, all of a sudden, all the people that want to watch you crash will start thinking you're entitled and you're a baby and all that. Well, this is what that's turned into. But at the end of the day, it's still Patrick Mahomes, and he'll whoop your – and the fear of God is in all these teams because of it. So as far as what I think is going to happen in the AFC Championship game, I cannot pick against Patrick Mahomes until he loses. At this point, I'm feeling like it's going to be a rematch of Super Bowl 54. That's my prediction for, and I know Lamar Jackson doesn't get enough credit, and I know it's blah, 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 blah. I have a way out of that too, by the way. I'm a Steeler fan. So if I hate on Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, no one calls me a hater. They just, you know, they always a Steeler fan. Of course he doesn't like the Ravens. I do like Lamar Jackson, though. I do like the fact that he has been getting a little abused here in terms of not winning, been injured the last couple of years. So if he's going to do it, this is all laid out perfect for him right now. So if he's going to do it, this is the team to do it with. But number 15 is on that other side. And as long as that guy's playing, I can't go against him, especially in a game like this.
We may be headed to the replay booth, but we'll be right back with Inside Sports Fantasy Football. If you're in the Las Vegas and Henderson areas and are looking to buy, sell, or trade the best in classic or current video games and pop culture collectibles, there's no better place to go than Retro City Games. From Xbox to PlayStation, Nintendo to Atari, the great crew at Retro City Games provides the best place to go for all your gaming options. Stop by their two awesome locations in Henderson and also the Las Vegas Strip, or follow Retro City Games on Facebook and Instagram for all the latest deals and new items. Without a doubt, there's no better place to go for your gaming needs than your friends at Retro City Games. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cool.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is Inside Sports Fantasy Football. It is Joe Soro from Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro and also LakersBall.com and Chris Lardieri from the Domination Sports Nation. I'm Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. There is another game that's going on right afterwards in the NFC, Chris. And that is the Detroit Lions, who are breathing air they haven't breathed in quite some time. They face off against the San Francisco 49ers, still with my favorite quarterback story I have. Maybe of all time. He's not my favorite quarterback. It's just the story. I love the fact that he's Mr. Irrelevant, and now he's taking the team to a second playoff run. Your thoughts, my friend? It hasn't been pretty for the San Francisco 49ers. No one says it has been. I'm not going to say it is. Last week, it was not the prettiest, win in the books, per se. But they got the job done. Will they get the job done again at home against the Detroit Lions?
I think they can, but I would not be shocked if the Lions pull this one out. And, you know, there's been a lot of excuses in the media. Well, it was raining and Purdy can't throw a wet ball and Debo's out and they miss him. I mean, at the end of the day, they had Christian McCaffrey, which really was the determining factor. And thanks with some help from LaFleur on the other sideline. But CMC running the ball down the Packers' throat at the end. And then to their defense, which was kind of abysmal against the run, Aaron Jones most of the game, made the stops when they had to. And Greenlaw had a key pick of Jordan Love. So I know they were rusty. I know they played shoddy. I personally think they can win this game, but would not be terribly shocked if the Lions pull it out. I know the Lions have had their some ups and downs in their first two playoff games, but I feel like that Rams game was a real test. It was a slugfest, and I think they'll be prepared for anything, even on the road.
Do you think a key, before I get to Joe, do you think a key will be who can run the ball better? Both have dynamic running games, especially with Detroit having not one, but two really good running back options. Your thoughts, could running the ball for once in the NFL in recent times be the key to success for either team?
Absolutely. And if Gibbs and Montgomery can run as effectively as Jones did against the 49ers, I think they could really be in trouble. reason being is they're a well-rounded team. Look, if the 49ers miss Samuel, yeah, that definitely hurts them. I think they may need to rely on McCaffrey more. If the 49ers stop the run, Goff's got options. They're going to say, oh, we dare you to beat us, Jared. Remember when you played down in L.A.? The key for me is Sam Laporta, who's been one of Goff's favorite targets all year. If he really is back in game shape, and God knows he toughed it out the first 2 weeks, I think he could be the X factor. But yeah, with a two-headed monster at running back, I think that's one thing the 49ers need to be concerned about.
Joe, what are your thoughts on the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers?
There were two issues with the Niners that didn't involve Purdy. It was their pass rush was non-existent, and they weren't able to stop the run. And Detroit plays very well. What I saw with the Packers, I saw Aaron Jones revitalized, almost looked like Aaron Jones from 5 years ago. He was getting to the edge rather quickly. And if they do that, if Gibbs does that, and Montgomery, you are going to have a problem, a major problem. So the Niners have to make sure that they have the outside containment. Otherwise, and it's hard, you know, if you're going to have Bosa go after the quarterback, you know, sometimes that there's a sacrifice there. But I would say the San Francisco 49ers need to make sure that they almost play it safe in this game. Don't take chances. Try to apply pressure as much as you can, but also make sure that no one gets outside them. Because if they do, you're going to see a repeat of what happened in the Green Bay game. And the pressure is a little bit tighter in this game versus last week. Packers very well could have won last week. And if Detroit does what the Packers did, I don't know if the Niners can save themselves twice. It's a major risk for them. So they got to stop the run. And if they can do that, and they should be able to win, even if it's a close one.
Before we head on out, guys, I want to go ahead and make sure we head out onto the lawn one more time to go ahead and check on that dog, because woof, 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 it is time for the doghouse. So, Chris, who is your dog between, not a plethora of choices this time around, it's either the Lions at a plus seven, or it is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs at 3.5. You could say 4 in some cases from what I'm seeing in some sports, but let's just say 3.5 and 7 to keep it simple.
Yeah, been 2-0 in the playoffs. Been a nice little run at a couple wins down the stretch too. A lot on the line here for yours truly. In normal times, I would pick the Chiefs on the road, even if you're stuck with the 3.5. You know, my role, get that extra hook. Field goals seem to determine a lot of these games, as we've seen so far this January. But I don't want to go a second time, but I will say I would feel comfortable with that. That would be my 1A pick should the latter game get canceled or something insane happen, right? But I am going to go with the Detroit Lions plus 7. Reason being, full disclosure, I have a ticket my friend placed for me in your fine home city of Las Vegas with the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl at 20-1. I don't advocate gambling, boys and girls, but if you do with NFL futures, you always need to hedge. I did it a few weeks ago with the Rams getting 3.5. That covered my Lions wager. If I were to hedge it again, I'd feel comfortable. I would love to see the Lions win. I'm going to be frank. I'm rooting for them, but I think 7 points is a lot for all the reasons Joe gave, for the fact that no one's talking about what a monster Aiden Hutchinson is. I think he's a game changer on defense, and he's going to cause Purdy some problems on Sunday evening. So I think the Lions will keep it close. If they do lose, I could see it being a 3-4 point game, but I'm going to try and give the positive vibes to the gambling karmaverse, whatever you want to call it, and hope the Lions win outright. I just feel like 7's a lot of points, and the gambling public is not respecting this team out of Detroit.
There you go, indeed. Once again, it's the Domination Sports Nation. For Joe Sorrow, it's Lakers Nightcap with Joe Sorrow. That comes up after every Lakers game, is that correct, at 11 p.m. Pacific?
Correct.
All right. Sounds good. But Joe and I actually have a Lakers fast break we're going to do here in the next couple minutes. Looking forward to that, but also looking forward to some great championship matchups this weekend. Really, really good. I really feel that it's going to be some really good football for everyone out there. And the next episode that we'll have is a Super Bowl preview. When that comes, we'll go ahead and arrange it here in the not too distant future, but it will come before Super Bowl time, rest assured, as only we can do right here at Inside Sports Fantasy Football.